Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 2nd of October 2011. Hello and welcome, thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week was our harvest celebration and it was a bit different. First we'll hear a short sermon by Andy which led into communion, and then we'll hear about this year's appeal by BMS, the Baptist Missionary Society. The reading is John chapter 12 verses 23 to 26, so let's go and join Andy.
Turn with me to John chapter 12, John's Gospel, chapter 12, and we'll come to a few verses in a moment. In John chapter 12, we have Jesus' anointing at Bethany, and then his travelling from Bethany over the hill down past the Mount of Olives into the Kidron Valley, and then he ascends up to Jerusalem and the triumphal entry. And this will turn out to be, as we know, the last week of Jesus' life. And as we know, he arrives, doesn't he? What we call Palm Sunday, he arrives in Jerusalem to much adulation. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the people sing and proclaim. But as we read in verse 23, Jesus understood that this moment of adulation was not his moment of glory. Let's read just a few verses 23 to 26. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." You see, Jesus understood that he had come to Jerusalem to die, and that it would be through his death that he would be truly glorified by his Father. The writer to the Hebrews comments, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, went through the cross, endured the cross, scorning its shame." And speaking of his impending death, Jesus likens himself to a grain of wheat. "Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies," he says, "it will remain only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Observing creation, even a slight observance, really does make you aware, doesn't it, of the wonderful process that God established at creation. The capability of a seed, a small seed, to multiply itself. And there is such an abundance of seed, isn't there, at the moment? Apple seed, blackberry seed, dandelion seed, hollyhock seeds, acorns, corn and wheat. And so the list goes on and on. Each seed, so small, so fragile, but each with an amazing capacity to reproduce itself. Someone said, didn't they, you can count the number of seeds in an apple, but you can't begin to count the number of apples in a seed. An acorn has the capability to grow into a mighty oak and produce thousands more acorns. A grain of wheat has the capability to multiply itself many, many, many times over. I've seen the bags of wheat delivered to Owen, the farmer, on opposite us. The few bags of wheat seed that are delivered. And I've seen him harvest. And the few bags of wheat seed have produced enough to fill two big barns of wheat. But here's the thing, that if the seed is to be fruitful, it must sacrifice itself. A seed will be unproductive if it sits in the farmer's bag or on the potting shed's shelf. As Jesus says, it needs to fall to the ground and die. And it's only when that seed is buried in the cold, dark soil and dies that it rises again and produces a harvest. Jesus is giving his disciples a picture of what will soon happen to him. Just like a seed, he will die and be buried, but he will rise again from the earth, and a great harvest will be produced. And as he said this, this is exactly what happened. He died on the cross, was buried in the tomb, but 3 days later rose again. Hallelujah. In our house we have great pleasure sowing seeds. Anybody else like that time of year? When you sow the seeds in either straight into the ground or in seed trays. Our youngest, Jack in particular, is a keen gardener and he loves to sow the seed. It's interesting, he's very much like me. He doesn't particularly like the digging. He doesn't particularly like the weeding. But he loves planting seeds. And he loves gathering the fruit. But there he goes. He plants the seed and will daily, morning before he goes to school and in the evening when he comes back, he will check the seed trays to see until he sights that tender green shoot just poking its tip through the soil. Wonder of wonders. Miracles of miracles. Jesus was the seed and the first fruit of God's harvest. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And you and I, and all those who have believed in Jesus and put our faith in him are part of that harvest. We are being gathered in. Noel and Tricia Richards expressed it well in their song, Filled with Compassion. And I'll end with these words. Filled with compassion for all creation, Jesus came into a world that was lost. There was but one way that he could save us, only through suffering, death on a cross. from every nation we shall be gathered. Millions redeemed shall be Jesus' reward. And then he will turn and say to his Father, truly, my suffering was worth it all. We're going to come to communion where we remember that suffering, where we remember that Jesus gave his life for us. And as we eat this bread and wine, we can say this morning, thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Thank you, Lord, for rising again for me. Thank you, Lord, for gathering me in to your wonderful harvest. And as we approach communion, we're going to sing a couple of songs to lead us into it. Though Jesus was likened himself to a grain of wheat, he says that we are like a seed too, and that we need to die to ourselves, and that we're also involved in his work of sowing seeds, the seed of his gospel. And we're going to focus just for the last section of our time now on BMS, who are helping us sow seeds of the gospel in other parts of the world. And we're going to watch a DVD that lasts 90 seconds, so watch quick. And then Janet's going to come and share with us a few words. Then we're going to watch a 6-minute video. And then we're going to sing and take up our offering for BMS. Okay, thank you.
So you want to know more about BMS World Mission? What we do, where we work, why we do it? Well, for starters, we're Baptist, with a history going back over 200 years. We work around the world, in over 35 countries, in the biggest cities, in the most remote villages, among some of the poorest, most marginalised, least evangelised people on earth, sharing Jesus Christ, bringing a better life. That's what we believe mission is, being practical, being relevant, being humble, being there, seeing the bigger picture. We're planting churches and injecting new life into old ones. We're treating illness and giving disabled children hope. We're helping kids read and write and improving English for adults. We're helping farmers with their crops and training communities about healthier food. We're bringing aid to disaster zones and staying there to help rebuild again. And who are we? We are people like you. Thousands of people, Christians motivated by our mission, to pray, to give, to campaign, to go, to connect with those in greatest need. Be a part of God's mission. Be a part of BMS World Mission. BMSworldmission.org.
Well, today, the 2nd of October, it's 219 years ago today that the BMS was first formed. And William Carey was born in a Northamptonshire village in 1761. His mother was a lace maker, and his father was a weaver who later became a schoolmaster. William was apprenticed to a shoemaker in his teens, and as a young lad at an early age, he gave his life to the Lord. He'd been brought up as an Anglican, but because of his association with Baptist ministers, he felt that he should be baptized. And he was baptized. He was baptized in the River Nen, at 6 o'clock in the morning on October the 5th, 1783. Now, his education was very limited, but he had a gift for languages, and he taught himself Hebrew and Greek, among other languages. So must have been quite a gifted man. He became a pastor of a Baptist church at Moulton. And at this time, he became concerned about reaching the world with the gospel. And when he had an opportunity to speak to other Baptist ministers about this and to challenge them about taking the gospel to far off lands, as we read in Matthew 28 verse 20. On that occasion, he was told to sit down by an older minister. Sit down. If God is concerned about them, he'll save them without your help. Which was quite a rebuff for a young minister, but it didn't put him off. He believed this: expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. And that's what he did. He once said to a friend, "My only genius is that I can plod." That's what he thought of himself. But as a result of his efforts, the BMS was formed on the 2nd of October 1792 in a widow's home in Kettering. And ever since, he's been known as the father of modern missions. And there's a book in the church library about William Carey if you're interested in reading about him. But BMS World Mission, as it's known today, is working in around 35 countries on 4 continents, as we saw at the beginning of that DVD. And the personnel are mainly involved in church planting, development, disaster relief, education, health, and media and advocacy. And at any one time, BMS supports between 350 and 400 personnel around the world with funding, training and expertise. They continue to provide emergency help and helping recovery to those affected by famine and natural disasters and war. And this year already, it's given around £160,000 in relief grants, of which 15,000 was given to support partners working alleviating the worst effects on refugees from this food crisis in East Africa. The grant will support medical and feeding work among at-risk women and children in refugee camps in Ethiopia. A grant was given to Tunisia to help feed 1,000 refugees a day on the Libyan-Tunisian border. And Brazil received a grant to help those affected by floods. India received a grant to help with workshops to bring about tribal reconciliation. And BMS is establishing a long-term presence in China for the first time in 60 years. Now is the time to pray for the fullness of all that God plans for that country to come about. There's an open door to teach in Chinese schools. I'd just like to read you something which I came across the other day. We prayed, that's BMS, we prayed for a sign from heaven that we should return to work in China. In an extraordinary way, a medical college from China, founded by BMS over 120 years ago, made contact with us. "We've grown quite large now," they said. "We have 16,000 students." A visit to China confirmed the sense that God was opening a door for us. We were welcomed warmly and invited to send English language teachers to work on the campus. And so we announced our intention to take up the invitation. And BMS is involved in the Arab world, in partnership with other missions, in broadcasting. SAT7, which is an Arabic channel, reaches millions of people in the Middle East, and children too. And a lady called Anne, whom we're not allowed to even know her full name, she's working in Tunisia with young women who are in situations of risk. And also they're working in Israel too to try and bring about reconciliation between Jews, Arabs and Christians. So mission is an ongoing thing. Mission work is an ongoing thing, and it will not finish till the Lord comes again. And therefore, BMS needs our ongoing support. Thank you.
Now, a 6-minute DVD called Harvest in Peru, focusing in on that country and the work of BMS. And it's to this that the money that we raise this today will go. Thank you.
Williamsons. My name is Anjanette.
And my name's Scott.
And we live here in Cusco. This year's BMS Harvest Appeal is about sowing seeds, not just physical seeds, but also spiritual seeds.
And we want to show you where we've been planting seed in sacred soil.
Welcome to the Sacred Valley in southern Peru. Behind me is Machu Picchu, the sacred mountain of the Inca peoples. To the south is Cusco, the ancient capital of the Inca Empire. The Sacred Valley attracts thousands of tourists each year, but it's also an area where the physical poverty is matched only by desperate spiritual need. It's the place where people still enact sacrifices at an annual festival, and where farmers and communities are at the mercy of a volatile climate. This is where, with your help, BMS is trying to plant something really good in both the soil of the Sacred Valley and the soil of people's lives.
We're here in the Sacred Valley near Machu Picchu. This is sacred soil, and it has been for many generations to the people here. But today it's sacred because they depend on it for their livelihood.
In January 2010, the village of Yucay in the Sacred Valley was hit by the worst floods in 40 years. 350 people lost their homes, and 400 farming families lost the crops on which they depend for survival. For poor families like these, the long-term outlook without a harvest is potentially devastating.
When the river flooded, the water was over a meter deep, and all our animals drowned. The mud walls of houses dissolved, and some folded in two. We had no warning, and we were left with no crops, no homes, no money.
You have given us seeds to plant in our fields. You've given us an opportunity to rebuild our lives. It is absolutely wonderful.
Thank you to the generosity of UK Christians. We've been able to help this community in UK in the Sacred Valley of Cusco. But as you can see around me, there's so much more we still need to do. Just recently, we've been able to buy seed for 400 families affected by the flood to plant for the harvest. When the harvest is reaped later on this year, we hope to take a proportion of that harvest from these people to reinvest for them in buying guinea pigs to give them a second income in the future.
You help us in our moment of need, and you gave us food and medicine, and gave us seed when no one else will help us.
Brother Scott and his church helped us and are helping us with good quality seeds. So now there will not just be a harvest, but a better harvest, which we could sell for a good price. We thank God, because now our children will eat and may also be educated.
This soil is full of potential, as are the people of Yucay. But while the soil is rich, the people are dogged with poverty.
A different type of poverty controls people further down the valley in Cusco, where a festival called Inti Raymi happens once a year. At this festival, prayers and sacrifices are made to the Inca sun god for the soil to bear fruit, and huge numbers attend. It's against this background that we have planted a church.
Here in Cusco, we're planting a different type of seed. We're planting the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To do this, we started a church called El Puente, here in Quispicanchis, suburb of Cusco. When we arrived here, it didn't have a church, either Catholic or Protestant. And yet, in this area, there are people with real spiritual needs, crying out for a relationship with Jesus. Marco is one of these people.
Hola, mi nombre es Marco. Marco.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I know salvation comes from Him. But I also feel I still have so much to make right in my life before I can fully accept Jesus. I never felt part of my parents' church. I never felt I was loved and cared for. Pastor Scott's church is different. When the floods came, I went with them to Yucay to help the people there, and I saw God in action. Even though I have not accepted Jesus, Pastor Scott always has time for me, and I feel like this is a church where I could meet Jesus. When I'm here, I'm closer to God.
At the end of this bridge is our church on the high street in Cusco. Because of its good location and a clear gospel message of Jesus, in the last year we've seen our church grow from zero to 45 people. We've seen it change lives, and it certainly has changed the life of a girl called Mercedes.
Pastor Scott's church has been great for me. I have given my life to Jesus, been baptized, and been filled with His Spirit. He has given me hope, joy, and a purpose and plan for my life. Every week I discover more about the plan Jesus has for my life, and it delights my soul.
From practical needs to spiritual hunger, the love of Jesus expressed through His servants changes lives forever. What you have seen here costs money, and there is still so much work to be done. Your giving makes this work possible, not just here in the Sacred Valley, but all over the world.
Every pound you give to BMS makes a huge difference in someone's life. Help us sow seed in sacred soil as we pray for a fruitful harvest.
To make your donation to BMS, please visit our website at www.bmsworldmission.org and change someone's life today. Thank you.
I'd love to invite you, if you'd like, to take a wheat or corn seed from here, which has come from the farm opposite me, so I know it's good. And as you take it, you can take as many as you like, but as a reminder that we're all called to sow the seed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's plenty there. And just to read those words that Janet referred to, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So Lord, we thank you for what you have done for us. We know it all begins with you. It's not that we first loved you, but that you first loved us. We thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for all that you have given. Thank you that we have been gathered in through faith into your harvest. Lord, we don't deserve it. It is what you have done for us, and we are grateful and thankful. And Lord, now you put seed into our hands, and you say, go and sow. Go and plant seeds. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Lord, use us, take this money that we bring to you in offering. Use it all, Lord, for your glory, that the harvest may be great, and that souls in Minehead and in Peru and everywhere in between will be saved for the kingdom of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you'd like to watch the video from the BMS DVD, please go to our website minehead-baptist.com/sermons and you can watch it on there. And that's the place you can also leave a comment on the sermon if you'd like to do so. So thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll talk to you soon.